Ladies and gentlemen, Jeremy Tromberg, everybody. You'll be able to see Jeremy Tromberg if you're in France and or Germany. Is that where you're going? And Germany with J.C. Brooks and the Uptown Sound. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, everybody. Welcome to The Hungry Brain. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and I'm going to do the best job I possibly can without screaming. Here's why. Last night we did a show at Saki Records, which is one of my favorite record stores in the country. And I did a thing about Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds, Dig Lazarus, Dig. And I spoke about said record for about 15 minutes. And I said the word pussy about 40 times. And I called myself a bro about 20 times. And I realized not everyone in the room knew I was doing a bit. And now a lot of people think I'm a bro. So it's going really well. Hi, guys. This is going to be a talk show. I don't like not yelling. This is very weird for me right now. I want to scream with so much joy and life because so many people I know, people that I helped move are in the room. That's how long I've known these people. And I haven't lived here in like 4 years. And it's a fun night. This vest fit me when I packed it. And now I've been here for 24 hours, so nothing fits me anymore. I ate a deep dish pizza. I don't eat deep dish pizza. No one should eat that. Why are we eating that? I'm currently on a couch for the listener at home, straddling this in a stage next to a Galaga machine. Here's how long this thing has been here. This is the 20-year reunion of Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga, but it's the class of 81. That's how long this thing has been. Nothing's going to change in this bar. This is the safest, friendliest bar you're ever going to be in. Ladies and gentlemen, do you like the show Twin Peaks? I like that show. Do you guys know the Black Lodge? Welcome to the Black Lodge. Have you seen Fire Walk With Me? Shit's going to get weird in here. A teen's going to come in here and our lives are going to change. Do you think Ray Pride's a nice guy? He's on GH right now. That's called General Hospital. That's a soap opera, guys. How you doing? We have a celebrity in the room. We have to call him out. Ladies and gentlemen, this man named Trace walked in. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Trace. Seriously, put your hands together for Trace. This is actually pretty great because I've met a lot of these people thanks to bands and like high school. That's how long I've known some of these people. Now, Trace is somebody I met because we happened to be at the exact same horrible birthday party in a horrible club. And I had enough gall in me to put in his phone, Brandon from a horrible club. That was 4 years ago, and now we're best friends, and he's a celebrity on D News. He gets a million hits. A million hits on his YouTube videos, and I do a show for 40 people, and he sends me congratulations emails. Like, he is the nicest guy in the world, and I'm a dirtbag. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a fantastic time. Behind me is one of the most talented people I know. She's got the best voice of anyone I know, and that's including you, Trace. Her voice is so much better than yours. You should really feel bad about what you do as a profession. She's here. Her name's Esmeralda. You want to turn that mic on really quick?
Yeah.
Cool. So we're going to do a show. It's going to be a lot of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Jeremy Tromberg. Once again, Jeremy, play about 20 seconds. Jeremy Tromberg, you're perfect. Thank you so much for existing. You're a delightful man. Sitting next to me on stage is the original co-host of the show, and we haven't done a show together in 10 months. Her name is Esmeralda.
Yeah.
How are you, Esmeralda?
I'm good. Why am I so far back?
Are you far back?
I feel like we're lording upon you, whoever's going to sit next to me.
It's going to be a good time. You just got back from overseas.
I did.
Why were you there?
I went to go hang out in the lovely town of Manchester.
Manchester? Why Manchester?
Because my friend lives there.
That's cool. You have a friend.
I have friends, Brandon.
That's pretty cool. I need to get friends. Instead, I have a wife. Anyways, you brought some treats.
I brought you some snacks.
You brought me some snacks. This is an audio podcast. This is going to go really well.
I don't know, but this will be good because the reaction, I think, would be nice. So I went to England, and it was fun, and I wanted to, eat weird things.
Did you not know Manchester was in England? Person that said woo. I'm just saying,
so
that was me. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so.
No, but I wanted you to try these because I tried them, and then I don't know if it was related, but I got food poisoning. So.
Let's do it.
We'll just see. We'll see.
What should I start with?
All right, so they're called Monster Munch.
Monster Munch.
And there's still more in here, so if you want to pass it around because I'm not going to eat it.
It looks like a childlike Doctor Who character. It's a giant, toothy grin. This one gentleman or woman.
They're all snow monsters.
They have giant noses, about 5 teeth. They should have about 50.
Yeah, no, I think it's normal to have 5 teeth in England, so it's okay.
Should I try Flaming Hot first?
No. Okay. Have the roast beef.
I'll have some roast.
Yeah, they have a thing with eating like meat-based chips, or crisps, as they call them. But that's roast beef flavor.
This looks like a Funyun.
Yeah, and their little monster claws, which I thought was adorable.
You have to talk while you do this.
Yeah, so what do you think?
It tastes like I just sucked down an entire packet of ramen. Like the flavoring.
Yeah, it's like a Funyun with bouillon, beef bouillon on it.
I kind of like that one. That's
and
not
you know,
bad at all.
It isn't the worst.
Why did you give me the best? Give me the worst first.
No. The best, I think, is the Flamin' Hot. Okay.
Oh, God. You have to talk while
this
I do
one's
this.
Pickled onion.
Why are you saying
no,
onions
nice.
Are great, and so are
no,
pickles.
No, I know you would think, but try it. So I wanted to go over, and I wanted to eat a bunch of weird things, and my friend just bought a bunch of stuff, and apparently eating 3 bags of them is like an English breakfast. It's what they do.
Your friend's just cheap.
Did you like that?
I did like this one, actually.
Oh, I don't like that one. It's like malted vinegar or something.
Yeah,
or
it tastes like malted vinegar. It's great.
And this is my favorite, Flamin' Hot, because it's not hot at all. They're British. They don't know what that means.
What else did you do besides eat crisps?
I went to the greatest place on earth. It was a bar called Satan's Hollow.
Right.
Yeah, so it was a 4 a.m. bar, and inside looked like
this
hell.
Is disgusting. This is the worst one.
Yeah, I like that
this
one.
This is horrible.
You should pass them around,
this
whoever
is like,
wants to eat them.
Ew, this is, what's
whoever.
The...
Seriously, if you want to come up here and eat them, they're not the worst thing in the world.
I recommend
people
the beefy
them.
Onion. That's good.
No, roast beef.
No, beefy onion. That's the best one. The,
I liked it. No, so I went to this place called Satan's Hollow.
Okay.
It's all designed, it looks like hell. So everything's, you know, like muscly, meaty, like the walls and everything looks like meat.
This is your favorite place on earth.
No, okay, so wait, it gets better. Behind the DJ booth, they had a big Satan statue. And then everyone there was there like it was circa 1998. They were all wearing...
Did they have JNCOs?
Yes!
Hell yeah,
they
JNCOs!
Had JNCOs! With the straps!
So we should move there.
We should. And then I saw... So when I walked in, I had to pay £4 to get in.
Okay.
And they checked my bag and all that. And I go in, and I'm hearing Fleetwood Mac playing.
Okay.
In Satan's Hollow. And then all you see is I saw a kid with a 2014 Limp Bizkit tour shirt. Which, who thought they were still touring?
They're going to be at the Fillmore Silver Spring this Sunday, and I'm going.
No.
I'm going. I have an intern at where I work, and I'm taking a 21-year-old intern who missed out on their heyday.
Well, these kids didn't. So the drinking age is 18, so there's a lot of young kids. They were dancing to Fleetwood Mac, and then they would play Pantera.
Ooh.
And then they played that song about being mammals and humping.
Bloodhound Gang?
Yes.
Cool.
It was the weirdest, it was the oddest place, and it was like 1998, everyone was dancing.
Were you the only
gothy.
Not white person that you saw your entire trip?
No, because, you know what, there's Chinatown.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of brown people there.
Really?
People probably thought I was Indian.
Cool.
Or Pakistan, you know, like East Asian.
That's cool. Did you feel nice about that?
It was okay.
That's cool.
There is no Mexicans, though, I don't think. And yeah. I did try Mexican food. I tried, it was from a place called Chango's Burritos. If you don't know what that means, chango means monkey in Spanish. They had Jarritos, which I thought was weird. Modelo, they had Coronas.
Well, that's just beer, yeah.
And their version of a burrito is not that... It's good for them, but it's nothing.
These chips have a weird really aftertaste.
Bad. Yeah, it gets bad.
I have one like currently stuck in a back tooth, and I think they're all mixing.
Yeah, I ate 3 bags of it, and then I got food poisoning. But I think it was the airline food gave me food poisoning.
Thanks for giving me those at the start of the show.
No, it was good. It's good. You'll remember those. They'll still keep coming up.
I don't want to remember that at all.
No, you will.
Are you ready to have our first guest on stage?
Yes.
Well, this man is an interesting man, and we're going to talk about interesting things. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for John Eisenreich, everybody. John, come to the stage. Now, John was asked to do this show because this guy named Matt Byrne wrote this piece about how John is a funny person. And I said, John, I think you're a very funny person. Would you like to do the show? And he said, yes, I'd love to do the show, but I'm not necessarily just a funny person. I also have something else I want to talk about. So, John, why are you on the show this evening?
Well, I do occasionally write jokes, but I went to school for marine biology, so I'm a marine biologist and foremost an animal ally.
You're an animal ally.
That's why I'm here. A lot of you might recognize me from a recent TED Talk I did. Whales wail. What happens when you give whales instruments?
Wait, are they normal-sized instruments?
We gave them all sorts. We let them experiment with it. It had never been done before. What I'm really here for is that I own and operate a whale rehabilitation center for child whales. And
now, where do you live?
I live... Well, I'm kind of a nomad.
That's cool.
I do live in the Chicago area.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
I commute to the coast.
Every day?
Well, I try to get out there as often as I can. I own and operate a whale rehabilitation center for child whales, okay? These child whales have overcome some incredible challenges. Child, you have no idea what some of these child whales have gone through.
Could you give us some examples?
If a whale is hit by a speedboat, I'm there. If a whale is born without a fin, I'm there, and my center's there. If a child whale gets its child head sucked into some kind of weird underwater pipe, they call me. I'm there.
What's the name of your rehab center?
It's unnamed. It's kind of not all that legal at the moment.
Why is it not legal?
It's really just a cove I've fenced off for some of these guys.
That's cool. Now, what made you so passionate about baby whales?
It's the first sea creature I ever saw, and I said, this is for me.
Now, where did you grow up, John?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Okay, fair enough. What brought you to the ocean for the first time?
Well, I wanted to see what was out there, what was in the ocean. And it turned out, for a long time, I thought it was just whales.
Really? So you were pretty lucky on your first trip out to the ocean, you saw a lot of whales.
Yeah, when I went to school, I was amazed.
Yeah, I could imagine.
There's thousands of different creatures in the ocean.
Really? That's fascinating. Now, for the listener at home that might not have been to an ocean, how would you describe the ocean?
Just endless. Wow. Wet, beautiful, gorgeous, dangerous.
How deep is it?
Thousands.
What?
Of feet deep.
Have you gone in?
Big enough for all the creatures, I assume.
Wow.
Well, yeah, I guess.
Now, yeah, have you been in the ocean?
No, I will never set foot in the ocean.
That makes sense. Now,
there's a lot of stuff in there. I wouldn't go in.
Absolutely terrifying.
A lot of marine biologists seem to wear beanies. You yourself are wearing a beanie this evening. Why are your heads so cold all the time?
I think I do it out of... I don't know. Someone told me. An older boy told me to do it.
It looks good, though.
You do look great. I think it's great. Do you have multiple beanies in different colors, or you just stick to the navy blue?
Just the one.
Just the one.
Mm.
Does it ever get smelly because you're on all these whales?
It's very dirty.
Yeah.
It there is no give to it. This will break like glass.
Now, what do you do with your time when you're not helping the rehab of the baby whales?
I'm out trying to raise money for these beautiful creatures.
Now, okay. How much money does it usually take to rehab
this
one whale?
This year alone, I've been able to raise upwards of $200 for these animals, okay? But that's not enough.
No, that's really not enough.
Okay.
That's not even the cost of one plane ticket.
I got 125 Atlantic blue whales out on the coast, okay? $200 isn't going to do it. They're hungry, is what I'm saying.
What do they eat?
Just krill.
Or well, what
so
do you
much
feed
krill.
Do you? Could you buy krill?
I take them in, but I'm getting behind the eight ball here because people keep sending them. I keep getting inmates.
Yeah.
Into the thing.
Why not let them out?
They'll die. I got one in there with no fins.
It sounds like you're trapping.
It will die. As soon as I let it loose, it'll die.
But it sounds like you're just trapping whales with no plan.
Listen, I sealed off a cove. There might be some trapped in there, all right? But I don't see any healthy whales in there, okay? They all need my help.
Yeah.
Do you at least give them something to do in there? Is there activities?
They got each other.
Yeah, there's no activities, though? You didn't plan a day?
They got... Listen.
You should plan some
$200 for 125 Atlantic blue whales? I'm busting my balls out there trying to save these whales. Okay? I can't keep them entertained. They got the one without the fins to look at.
Well, now it just sounds like you have a freak show of whales.
It's horrifying.
You
to
should
see.
Actually charge
really
to go look at them.
See.
Yeah, you should charge
no
people to look at your
wants
freak whales.
To buy tickets.
I don't know
really
about that.
It's really only 10 feet deep out there. The water gets warm and the whales start
oh,
to get
no.
squirmy and they moan and they're not in pain. It's just no one wants to pay to see that.
I imagine they're stacked up like when you go to the Jewel and you see the lobster.
Well, if it's any deeper, there are some that are gonna drown out there.
That's true. The one with the fins.
Well, I think they won't drown. I mean, they're in water already. How are they going to drown?
They're mammals.
That's true. Okay. Now, what are some of the diseases that you find that these animals are having? They're in your rehab center. I'm hoping somebody, not you, of course, but somebody is doing some tests. I know you don't have a lot of money, but I'm hoping that, yes, they're trapped and you're essentially creating a prison, but maybe there's some help that you could be doing. There's someone's on your team is doing something to prevent these diseases.
Let's get something straight. They are released as soon as they turn 18. Okay.
Okay. So it's like a juvie whale.
It's just for child whales.
Of course. I apologize.
Radar hip.
Radar hip? What's radar hip?
Submarines have incredibly powerful radar. Okay. If it hits a young whale, it can knock its pelvic bone loose, and they end up in a constant state of arousal. It's terrifying.
I didn't realize whales had...
funny?
I didn't realize whales had pelvic
bones.
And it
looks painful.
Do they have pelvic... I thought they don't...
And that one without fins doesn't stand a chance.
Yeah. That's sad. Did you name that one?
I don't think it's going to make it. I don't want to name it quite
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Blowhole dysgina.
That sounds messy.
So the blowhole gets inflamed and they can't exhale without whistling.
Oh, boy. Oh.
All through the night.
That just breaks your heart.
And I got to deal with that when I'm out there trying to feed these things in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I got one with 30 baseballs in its lung.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Some smart-ass kid on the coast whipping baseballs out into the ocean hits this little fucker 30 times in its blowhole.
Come on, guys.
When it came in, it's coughed out at least 4.
I know a lot of kids on the coast listen to this show. Guys, stop throwing the baseballs at the whales. That's just not...
Believe me, we've taken care of it. The kid, I mean... That's an incredible feat. This kid, you're probably going to see him on the national stage playing baseball.
Pretty cool.
It's amazing. That's amazing to hit that.
But all right, come so on. Use your talent for good, maybe. Maybe throw it at a catcher.
Stop whipping baseballs at whales off the coast, kids.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it for you.
Well, you just said this kid.
Well, he did. I mean, he's going to be very
successful. Yeah. But, like, statistically, he's probably the only one. What else?
100 tons of whale he could have killed.
Yeah. You need a deeper pool.
I got a guy
whales.
In Singapore called me about a whale was born inside out.
How
they
want
to bring it into the place. What the fuck are we doing out there where whales are getting born inside out?
Yeah.
Something's wrong. And I said, scoop him up best you can. I'll take him in.
Did you take him in?
Well, he isn't coming. You know,
yeah.
I don't know how they're going to get him all over here. But.
Yeah. Well, is there anything that we can do? Is there anything that the listener at home could do?
Donate money. I do have a can over by Goodrich. I do need money.
Fantastic. What's the ideal number? Maybe we can raise it tonight.
I'm going to need at least $200,000 to keep it open.
We could do that. We could do that. We're rich. We could do that. John, I really appreciate
that's
you.
That's just brass tacks. $200,000.
That's this. Fair. I appreciate you being here. I think you raised some awareness. For a thing that no one knew existed before you were here. I think you're an
well,
American.
Well, I think he created it.
Well, yeah, he's doing good.
A lot
good.
Of people just think because they're full grown at 4 that they're adults. They're not, okay? They need our help. Some of them are born without fins. Some of them have screwed
well, just that
low
one.
Holes.
There was just that one. Yeah, just
I don't know how many I didn't get to that were born without fins.
That's true.
Have you thought, can I just, I'm sorry, but maybe a little realistic. Could you just sell that to the, you know, because people
listen,
like
listen, I keep finding Japanese guys in my water filtration shed, okay? And they're not out there to look at child whales, okay? They look out there and they see dollar signs. They see oil.
You know, the one with the fins, I think kind of let's cut them loose.
Well, that is that thing is a monster. True.
Did you just admit to trapping men in a?
No, they sneak in there.
But do they get
I
out?
I hose them out.
Oh, you hose them out? Okay, that's good.
That's why I got to commute all the fucking time. Hose all these whalers out of my goddamn sheds. I got Norwegians. I got Japanese guys out there.
It's typical shed problems, it sounds like.
Somali pirates are whaling.
What? Oh, man. We need to raise
some... Baseballs were bad. Wait till you see an Atlantic blue whale machine gunned. Okay. Sorry, too real?
This is very upsetting.
It's happening in our oceans. Let them get warm. Right now, some of these animals are getting machine gunned out there.
John, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. I think we could raise $200,000 apiece. I think that's doable.
A piece?
I mean, I didn't realize we were machine gunning animals. That's not right. So we, $200,000 apiece, we can get you a good start. At least get you like an apartment on the coast.
At least get me a lock for the water filtration shed.
I might have one, like if you want, just like a master lock.
It's gonna have to be machine gun proof.
Oh. Okay?
Norwegian proof.
You got me.
Giant
there.
Blonde maniac proof.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for John Eisenreich, friend of the baby whales. It's nice to do a show and actually learn something. So thank you, John. We usually have some like laughs and dumb stuff at the top of the show. So thank you for bringing some knowledge to this room. Coming to stage is a very funny man that I thought did the show 3 years ago. Sorry about that, Nick. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Nicholas Rowley, everybody. Nick, do your thing!
Oh, man, hungry man. How are we feeling tonight? Good? Yeah? I like it. This room is nice and hyphy, just the way you get them for me. Guys, he's got a lot of friends in the room. I don't really know many of you, I think. Right? Do any of you really know me for that most part? No? Not really? All right. If you guys will bear with me for just 1 minute before I start telling jokes, I just want to let you know a little bit about myself. Then once we're friendlier, you might think I'm a little bit funny. Guys, I've been doing this for a little over 3 years now, 3 years of telling jokes. And the reason I find I keep coming up here and telling jokes all the time is because of you guys, the audience. That's absolutely true. I love getting up, performing in front of people all the time. It's fun. Here's a fun fact about you guys you might not be aware of. I think each and every one of you is cool. Yeah. All of you guys are a little bit of free spirits. I'll tell you why I think that. Because right now, you're out on a weeknight, drinking in a bar, listening to some really questionable material up on stage. We all heard that blonde girl talking about hobo fucking earlier. Yeah, it got pretty weird in here. But you guys are cool. You understand that these are jokes, and even if you don't agree with the material that's coming out of the performers' mouths, you're on board and you're going to laugh, and I think that makes all of you pretty hip and cool. That being said, I think as a performer, I also need to be like you and have an open mind. Yeah, because none of us, not one of us in the room, none of us have all the right answers. The foundation of all of our beliefs needs to be shaken up from time to time, and that's how we as a people move forward. It's called progress. Hell yeah. Feeling good about that. All right, guys. All of that being said, Brandon, how am I doing on time right now? 6 more minutes?
Yes.
Okay. Guys, all that being said, for the next 6 minutes, I'm going to explain to you why I think Russian people are gross, okay? Number one. I don't really think Russian people are gross. I just like taking it there. One time I told that joke in a Wrigleyville show, and I used a Filipino for the ethnicity that time, and people were very bummed I did not keep going. It was very telling of the crowd I was performing in front of that night. Holy shit, guys, I am legitimately super stoked to be here. I worked a 10-hour shift at my job today. That was a lot of 9-to-5ers here, a lot of people with Monday through Friday shifts. Yeah? Sir, how long have you been working a 9-to-5 job for? Yeah, you. A while?
Yeah, 3-4 years.
3-4 years? That's awesome. I've only had mine for like 7 months now. Tell me, does waking up super early ever get easier for you? Yes, it does. Man, I'm not there yet. It's almost been a year, and I am not there. I cannot stand waking up that early in the morning. The only benefit I have found thus far from getting up that early is there is a whole world of breakfast foods that I had no idea even existed. Yeah, it is crazy. I usually slept right through all of that stuff. For example, have you guys heard of scones before? Yeah. Scones. That is a real thing. I had no idea. I highly recommend it, especially if you enjoy dry pieces of shit. Man, those things. Scones. They are not easy to swallow. Oh, man. I recently got an unwanted raise at work. Got an unwanted raise. Gave me a whole lot of responsibility for a nickel. What is that? It's 2014. Come on. Giving me an extra nickel. I had to bite it to make sure it was real. Started getting all of these emails forwarded to me from other coworkers. I'm getting a ton of spam now. I don't know what these chuckleheads were doing to get all this spam in their email work box, but it's gotten out of control. They're really funny, though, sometimes, because I see who they were addressed to, and I get a little chuckle out of it. I got one. This is an honest-to-God email I got the other day at work. I almost opened it because it was so funny. It's from Viagro.com. See if you can guess what they make. Yeah, they really went to the think tank for that name. Subject line. This is real. Gentlemen, get your dick so hard you can crack an egg. That is amazing. I almost opened that email. I don't know about you dudes, but I've never had a chub so stiff I made a more efficient breakfast with it. That is unbelievable. That's such obviously geared towards men, too. I love advertising that's like, you know, gender-based like that. Men are always getting stuff that never come to women and vice versa. Like, ladies, none of you are getting into your inboxes tomorrow morning and opening it up and seeing Viagro.com. Ladies, get your pussy so wet, you could smother a grease fire. No, it's not happening. None of you are interested in that one. Man. You guys, your initial reaction to that joke is fair. Yeah. It's okay. I get it. That joke's not so hot. Here's the deal, though. I keep telling that joke time and time again. Every single time I get up on stage. Because here's a little fun fact. One night, that joke came to me in a dream. Yeah. I dreamt that. I woke up and I was like, oh my God, that's so brilliant. I wrote it on a notepad next to my bed. Only real difference being, in my dream, that joke got me a standing ovation. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And my brother was still alive sitting in the front row, so. I gotta keep telling that one, you know? My favorite thing about that joke is sometimes it just kills the mood entirely. People are just like, oh, no. But here's the thing. I've never had a brother, and I just like taking you guys for an emotional roller coaster. Yeah, it's going to get dangerous up here. Yeah! There's usually someone up closer when I kick. It's a really rehearsed bit. Guys, yesterday was my 2-year wedding anniversary with my wife. Yeah. Celebrated 2 years of happy marriage yesterday. Very cool. We've actually been together for 14 years. Waited quite a long time to get married. This is the key to a happy marriage. I'll get out of here on this one. This is some advice for you guys. I've been talking about all these pervy things that men are interested in earlier, saying how women aren't getting that. But guess what? You women are filthy too. Yeah. I know it. We all know it. And the key to a successful relationship after all that time is you got to keep the fire alive. You got to keep it burning. So what I do is I'm constantly whispering sweet, super dirty nothings to my wife all the time, and she is super into it. I'll drop them out of nowhere. She won't even see it coming. Recently got myself out of a classic lose-lose situation. Yeah. We're at a department store, and my wife came out of the dressing room. She was like, honey, what do you think? Does this dress make me look fat? Normally, ooh, that's not a good question, but I didn't even hesitate. I was like, baby, if that dress makes anything fat, it's my dick, okay? That is a good dress. That is a good one. That is coming home. All right, I'll leave on the yay for my penis. Thank you so much.
Next, sit down and bring the microphone. You need it. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I swear to God, I thought you were already on the show. I apologize.
No, it's cool.
You do a bunch of cool shit. One of those things is you work on Shame That Tune.
Yep. At the Hideout, every second Friday. People on the podcast aren't going to know, but if you've never been, there's this really awesome show at the Hideout.
I highly recommend that you go. It's a fantastic time, and I was lucky enough to be a guest 2 years ago. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Number two thing that you do is you have an amazing show at Saki Records.
Yes, I do a show. It's called Freak Happening.
And you just celebrated your
43rd year anniversary.
And you can watch a 14-minute, not long at all, video.
No, people love internet videos that go into the double-digit mark. People
Pretty
are
great.
Super into that.
I highly recommend that you check that out. And one of the things I want to talk about is the thing you no longer do, and that's a wonderful podcast called RPM.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, that was...
You did this show with Joe McAdam.
Mm-hmm.
He's currently in L.A. You're currently here, hence the show. Was, I guess, on indefinite hiatus?
Yeah, more or less. Me and Joe Joe was back in Chicago a few months ago, and we tried to record like a lost episode to release just because we were together again. And we just drank too much scotch and then realized we'd talked about like Far Side, Bizarre Ride to the Far Side for an hour. Actually, no, what we actually did is we got drunk and we would do a show that was a music show and every episode was themed. So we would do an episode where it's like all songs about food. And it would just be songs about food, you know, or all songs about jerking off, you know, so forth. And we did a episode where it was during the blizzard we had last year. Joe was in town the day it was like negative 17 degrees or
yes.
whatever. So we were just going to dig back into the history of the band Hot Chocolate to keep ourselves warm on that chilly day. And we started off really digging that groove. And then it took a dark turn at some point and we just never put it out.
Well, that's going to...
Joe got extremely racist, is what happened.
Cool. I am a fan. I highly recommend that you listen to his podcast. And the reason why I want to talk about this is I'm also a married man. I've also been...
Congratulations.
Thank you, bro.
You're recently married, right?
A year and months, so yeah, not really.
I mean, we're kind of in the same...
We're not newlyweds.
Yeah.
I mean, the fire's gone.
Honeymoon is over.
Literally. So the what's interesting about this is you still care about new music,
mm-hmm.
but you're married. You're not, like, using it to pick up people.
No. Nope.
You seem to have a decent social life. You're on stage a lot. You're not just a music nerd.
Yep.
What is the thing that makes most people, after a certain age, just stop listening to anything new and just listen to whatever they liked in high school or college? Like, what is... Give me one way to prevent that from happening.
I think our generation grew up with the problem of... A lot of the best, I mean, this has kind of always been a case in a way, but I think a lot of the best music for our time wasn't like necessarily given to you on MTV. I would say in a post-Nirvana world, really awesome bands you kind of have to like dig a little bit for.
Okay.
You have to go like see live music and get turned on to stuff. And
well, how old are you?
I'm 30.
I am 31. What was your favorite band in high school?
Oh, man. Mudhoney, maybe?
Fuck you. That's already a cool answer. It should be like the late era Rage Against the Machine.
Audioslave. That being said, there are bands I loved in high school that have not aged well, like Dismemberment Plan.
You're wrong. Like that's actually aged well.
Oh, man, no. Some of the songs on Emergency and I'm like... Dude, give me a fucking break. This is worse than emo. Like, what is happening?
No, you're completely
wrong. And I loved it. I was fucking dancing my ass off at the fireside to that shit.
That's where you're wrong. No, you were too young to love that because that's actually aged really well. I didn't like them until, like, the reunion tour about 3 years ago because I'm an adult. See, that's where you're wrong. You need a 9-to-5, obviously.
I kind of have a 9-to-5.
What do you work?
I work at Carrot Top Distribution, which is the music... distro out of Saki Records.
Yeah, you work in a record store.
Yeah, so I am just around music all the time.
What's on your head right now?
What am I listening
physically
to?
Physically on your head right now.
A hat, a little beanie.
There you go, perfect. I just want the listener at home to see what I'm seeing, to paint a picture. What's on your face right now?
A beard. I look like every white guy,
that's
basically.
That's right. He looks like he works in a record
store. I have a beard,
store.
I'm wearing a cardigan and a collared shirt. I have stupid tattoos, yes.
What are your tattoos? Did you forget?
No, I have them. They're just...
Let's talk.
I've got a skull that looks like it was drawn with a Sharpie that underneath it says death. And above it, it says tattoo idea.
Is it also spelled D-E-T-H?
No, I spelled it right. An artist named David Shrigley drew it for me, actually. I went and saw him talk. Well, I went to go see him talk. He's an artist that I really love. You should look him up. He's funny.
What's his name?
David Shrigley. He draws like silly little cartoons, but he shows in these huge museums around
spell
the world.
Spell me his last name. H?
S-H-R-I-G-L-E-Y. I found out about him because when I was in college, I went for studio art, and I was handing in all these drawings that I was doing, and a teacher of mine was like, wow, you really love David Shrigley. You're ripping him off. And I was like, I don't know who that is. And then I found all of his work, and it was like, oh, this person is doing this way better than I am. I have to completely stop doing this completely. But I fell in love with him. He's, like, brilliant. He's a really good artist.
I like
your
attitude. Rather than just deny that and, like, try to do it and make money.
So to have a tattoo of his is, like, you
know,
really cool. He drew it for me. That was cool.
That's awesome. I like you a lot. People should definitely see your show at Saki Records.
Thank you. Yeah,
it's a show I've never been in town for.
There's usually free beer. People love free beer at a show.
And tomorrow night, not free beer, and it's not a free show at the Hideout.
No, you have to pay for that one, but it's going to be good.
Cool.
Cool. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Nicholas Roy, everybody. Thank you so much. Coming to the stage is someone that needs to be on the show. We just talked a lot about music, so it's time we get a musician on the stage. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Earl Jenkins of the Good Old Boys, everybody. Earl, come to the stage.
How you doing, man?
For the listener at home, Earl is a slightly older gentleman, and it takes him a while to get to the seat. He's currently introducing himself to the co-host, Esmeralda. He does not have a microphone, though, so that's why I'm narrating it for the listener at home. Earl, how are you?
I'm a gentleman. I'm talking to the...
You are
a gentleman.
Yeah,
he's very polite.
You're a very polite man.
Mr. Witherby, good to see
you, Nice to meet you, sir.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
How you doing, tickling the ivories back there? I'm blessed living another day, my man, living another day. Okay?
Now, Earl.
Guilty as charged. Hey, we have fun, right? We having fun? Okay.
Kind of a legend.
Yeah, bit of a legend.
Yeah, so...
Kind of slumming it. Is that what they call it here?
I think you are.
Yeah, but hey, you do what you got to do, man, okay?
Okay, so why are you here?
Oh, man, I'm talking about a... okay, my name is Earl Jenkins. You got that right.
Guilty
as charged, as I previously had stated. I'm a member of founding singer-songwriter face of the Good Old Boys. Y'all... I ain't got to introduce that. Y'all know about the Good Old Boys.
We are big fans of the Good Old Boys.
Absolutely.
It's a mostly white audience. We all love the Good Old Boys. We get it.
Hey, I don't want to get racial, okay? That gets a little into slippery slope territory. I'm not a slippery slope gentleman, okay? That's a different band, okay? The Slippery Slopes. You know the Slippery Slopes?
I don't know them.
Oh, man. They had a whistle player. Oh, boy. That guy could howl. Oh, boy.
We're not here to talk about the Slippery Slopes.
You got to keep me on track, man, because I got so much music knowledge under my hat.
To have a legend here is just amazing. So we're here to talk about the Good Old Boys.
Yeah, we coming out with a box set. Any kind of press. Maron wouldn't have me on, but I'm on here.
You got a beef with Maron?
No, man. He just didn't know who I was.
Oh, that's sad.
And he's great at interviewing musicians. We all know that. He knows a lot about music. You know, he knows about... He's great at being like, hey, am I cool? And they're like, I guess. And they're like, oh, cool, man. He knows like four blues riffs. I'm into that dude. I like that dude. Man, a lot of time the tour bus, man, listening to Maron. You know, hey, we got beef. Yeah, we got beef. Well, so I'm talking about a Good Old Boys box set.
Yes.
I wish I would have had one, you know, like to show y'all.
That's okay. It's an audio podcast. We could paint a visual picture.
I mean, the problem is a lot of vinyl's making a comeback, and I only put it out on vinyl.
That's fantastic. That's a good idea.
Yeah. The problem is they said it's taking too long because it was a bit of a special order.
Yeah?
It's 14 LPs on 78 speed, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. That's like the heaviest speed, dude.
That's crazy.
That's what I came up listening to 78s, and I was like, you know, if the Good Old Boys going to be done justice, which I believe we deserve. Am I right, my man? Absolutely. We deserve 78 speed, and they had to redo the presses or something. I don't know. It's taken about 2 years.
That hasn't been done in roughly like 50 years. At least 50 years.
Yeah, that's what the sales rep told me.
Yeah.
50 years, yada, yada. I said, here's a check. Make it happen. So, you know, he's not going good on the promise. You ever listen to 78?
No.
Maybe take the lights all dim? It's an experience. Well, it's an experience.
Well, if we had that box set, we could have done it. But
hey, as I stated, man, it's a printing press issue. But, you know, the art's there, dude.
We're not here to talk about the printing press. We're here to talk about the art.
Absolutely, man.
Now, for the people at home that don't know who you are, what are some of the things that that you're very proud of? The things that when you pass, I hope that day never comes, but when you pass, what's going
to
be?
Oh, it's going to have to come. It's going to have
fair
to
enough,
come.
Fair enough, fair enough.
I just want to be known as the greatest songwriter singing songs about life, love, and cocaine.
That's good.
I'm just a fellow that writes what he knows, and I've loved it. And I did a lot. I've done cocaine for before 45 years.
45 years
keeps me looking young. I look pretty
you
young,
look
dude.
Great.
Right?
Now, when did you start on the cocaine?
13 and a half.
Wow, yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, it was good for me. How right? Finally, someone had a good response to
oh
it.
Oh my God, you look amazing.
I know, right? I've talked to a lot of folks, but like 13 and a half, and they wag their finger in a judging way.
They're just jealous. They're like,
yeah,
I was 13.
Jealous, dude.
No, man.
Just because I was cool. You know?
Yeah, man.
A 15-year-old trusted me with a little daddy's powder, and I was like, okay, I guess I'm grandfathered in. Is how they do it.
Now, have you ever paid for cocaine?
I mean, I have. But you know, it's off the book, so you know, Uncle Sammy don't know about that old stuff.
How often did you get in tax trouble with Uncle Sam?
Ooh boy. we're still in a little tiff about that, you know, about whose hat's bigger, if you catch my drift.
You have a hat on for the listener at home. How would you describe your hat?
Oh, it's not as big as Uncle Sam tall. That's
no,
like
that's
a
pretty tall hat.
I seen the Grateful Dead. That's like a Grateful Dead hat. One of them your boys.
Your hat.
No, the Uncle Sam hat.
The Uncle Sam hat is like a Grateful Dead hat, yeah.
Yeah, that's where I was doing. I'd done a lot of cocaine with Jerry and the boys and Bobby
really?
Weir. Oh, yeah, all them dudes. We hung out in the hate.
But
you know.
But your music doesn't really sound like the Dead.
No, not at all, but cocaine is a great unifier, dude.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I've done cocaine with so many bands. Slayer! So much cocaine with Slayer. Them dudes is crazy. They love the devil, dude.
Do you love the devil?
Like, in a deep way. I'm 50-50 on them, dude. It's like, you know, the yin to the yang.
Yeah.
I'm not totally I'm on the fence. I'm more of an independent voter, if you catch my drift.
Sure.
Religiously,
you're an independent voter.
Yeah,
see, when
dude.
I think of good old boys, I don't think devil at all.
No, dude. You just think of good, fun music about loving, lifing, lossing, and cocaine.
Yeah. Now, besides Slayer and the Grateful Dead, mm-hmm. who is your favorite band or artist to do cocaine with?
I'd say Van Halen.
Van Halen.
Oh, dude, yeah. Because David Lee Roth, he would just get the you know those like pinwheel things that kids would have?
Yes.
That was him incarnate. Just give him a little snooter and he would just go like a pinwheel. Just dance for me. He's my little dancing boy. Oh, we would have fun. Little DLR.
Now, you've lost a lot of members of the Good Old Boys through the years.
Oh, yeah.
Do you regret any of the massive amounts of drug use that led to that?
I mean, you can lead a horse to cocaine, but you can't make him snort it, you know? That's what we say on the road there, you know?
I don't think anyone else says that on the road or in life.
You know, people do say that to me. They say, you know, you use a lot of colloquialisms that I never heard before.
Yeah, that's where are you from?
I'm from Kokomo, Indiana.
Oh, cool.
It is cool, dude. We got two streets. We got Main and First, and they meet in the middle, and that's where the good old boys started, man, Main and First. At the Golden Lasso.
In Kokomo, Indiana.
Yep, guilty as charged. See, I say that all the time, too. People are like, you got enough legal issues, probably shouldn't say that so much.
Yeah,
dude.
You do.
Yeah.
Who gets your cocaine for you now?
Hector.
That's cool.
This is a dude I know. I'm sorry. No,
that's good.
He's just very on time
yeah.
and helpful, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that maybe if he did less cocaine, the records would have already been out?
Dude, if I had a time machine, you know,
yeah.
I could go back and maybe not be a cool 13-and-a-half-year-old, but that's what the good Lord gave me, okay?
A massive amount of cocaine.
Yeah. I mean, he gives gifts.
Yeah.
The good Lord. He gives different gifts to different people.
And the only gift you were given was that horrible drug.
I mean, I would say maybe the gift of songwriting and the human condition, but cocaine as well.
Yeah. What's your favorite song that you've ever written?
There's so many songs. I mean, let's go top three.
Top three.
Okay.
Number three.
Married Cocaine, Divorced Cocaine, Remarried Cocaine Again.
That's a good song.
That was a good one, man. Elvis tried to buy that from me.
Costello or Presley?
Both.
Shit.
You know what I told both of them? Not for sale, dude. Not for sale.
You know how much more cocaine you could have bought if you sold that song, right?
I'm an artist, dude. Can't put a price on that.
Fair enough.
Number two, Cocaine Train to Kokomo.
It's kind of like a hometown.
It's kind of a hometown. Like, hey, good old boys are back. Everyone's going to stay awake for 3 days, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how that goes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number one, with a bullet.
Making breakfast with cocaine.
Oh, that's good
stuff. That was more of a, just a fun, just like a everyday, like waking up, cracking eggs, doing snooters. You know, that's the usual thing, man. That's just like us in a nutshell.
Now, a lot of people don't know that you're currently on a drug-free campaign, so that's cool. It's nice that you're helping out
I'm
the world.
I'm just trying to talk to the kids. At least wait. I'm not, maybe.
Wait till 14, 15, wait, 16?
I'm 16, a hardline stance, 17. Wait till you're 17, you know. Wait till you can, you know, maybe.
Times have changed. It's not the 60s, 70s,
that's
80s,
true.
Or 90s anymore.
These kids are looking at their phones all the time, and that's just, that's going to rot your brain, dude, looking at your phones. You know, get out in the world, see some things, do some snooters.
Well, it was an honor to have a legend like you on the show tonight.
Oh, I'm much obliged.
Now, the name of the box set is what?
It's Laughing Times, Earl Jenkins, The Good Old Boys. It's on 78 speed.
Yeah, and that's going to come out in theory soon.
I mean, it's supposed to come out a lot of yesterdays ago.
Yeah.
Another phrase that I keep saying that people look at me all cross-eyed about.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A lot of yesterdays ago.
Now, thanks for doing the show.
Oh, no problem.
I feel like I should say something better, but I can't think of anything.
Hey, man, you know, you only give what the good Lord gives you.
That doesn't make sense.
Again, well, these are phrases Mammy used. I don't understand why people give him a guff.
I really wish we could have gotten you a guitar.
Oh, man, my hands are fucked. I ain't played guitar in 10 years, dude.
That's it with that, ladies and gentlemen. Please put your hands together for Earl Jenkins and the Good Old Boys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremy. Playing one of those Good Old Boy songs. If the Hungry Brain is known for one thing, it's our love of country western music. So thank you so much for being here, Earl. Brand new friend. You ready to do this? I'm so glad she's here. Give her a warm round of applause. Give her your ears, give her your eyes, put your hands together for Sonia Davis, everybody. Sonia, the stage is yours. Play around, Jeremy.
Hey, guys. Let's get going over here, two co-hosts. It's hilarious that he called me Sonia Davis, because that's
Dennis.
Not my name.
Nope,
Denise. No
one knows how to pronounce my name, though. It's spelled, I don't blame him at all. I've gotten worse. But it's spelled S-O-N-I-A-D-E-N-I-S. Most people say Sonia Dennis. So, like, whenever I do a show, I always get, like, an introduction, like, come on your stage, Sonia Dennis. Say it one more time for Sonia Dennis, Sonia Dennis. And I was in a bar once, and I was watching this couple. They were talking to the bartender, and they were like, you know, we saw, like, Jerry Seinfeld back before he was, like, you know, Jerry Seinfeld. And I was like, oh, man, I wonder if one day people will be like, we saw Sonia Deneve back when she was Sonia Dennis. And now I know her name. Oh, man, I'm excited to be here. Are you hanging out, man? Oh, I thought you were leaving. I forgot my set list because I wasn't on the set list. Are you guys drinking? That's awesome. I recently feel like I've discovered that I might have a drinking problem, and drink to this if you do it. I've become, you don't have a drink, I've become the type of person that wakes up to Facebook notifications that I've been tagged in pictures I don't remember taking with people I don't remember meeting. It's like, who is Lydia living my life like it's going up in this bitch Henderson? Like, who are you? Who are you? Why is there an entire Facebook album, 50 pictures, just you and I tagged, titled Me and My New Bitch? Like, why am I making these decisions? That's just because, like, the drunk version of me is very gregarious. I'm sociable. I'm hugging everybody. The type of dudes that show up to the club in, like, spaghetti strap wife beaters. The type of dude... The type of dude that'd be like, no homo, bro. If y'all put him a hot dog, like, those are my soulmates. But those are the types of dudes I'm hanging out with. And last time I'm not from here, I'm from the East Coast, but I was on the East Coast and I was hanging out with a friend and she recently got promoted to FBI agent. Why are we hanging out? Obviously a bad decision on her part, but we're hanging out. I'm super drunk. And she tells us that she gets to carry a gun with her everywhere she goes. So armed with that knowledge, very drunk, we're walking around in the bar, and this dude steps on my shoe and bumps me, and I'm like, hey, he stepped on my shoe, and he's like, calm down, sweetheart. I was like, sweetheart, really? Mel, shoot this bitch. Are you serious right now? She works. No, you know what? We work for the FBI. All right? And you just became an enemy combatant. That just happened. Oh, you're not impressed? You just became number two on the terrorist watch list. It goes Abu Nazir, then you. And if you watch Homeland, you'd get that reference. But neither of them was amused. She doesn't talk to me anymore. Why? But that's actually not the worst thing I've ever done. I was drunk when I first moved here to Chicago. And I was hanging out. And my friends said that, like, I blacked out. So everyone told me that whenever they told me to calm down, slow down on my drinking, I started channeling like a 70s pimp. So my friend Lee was like, hey, Sonya, ooh, I just think that's one too many. And I was like, listen, ho. You need to calm down before they pull these hush puppies out your ass. And I don't even own hush puppies, so. It's like the drunk version of me is like Dr. Jekyll and Dolomite. It's just what I'm doing for my life. Speaking of Chicago, I went to Pilsen. And I was hanging out in Pilsen, and I was standing in front of a restaurant waiting for my friend to come, and this woman walks up to me. She's like, excuse me, mama, sorry to interrupt you, but, like, can I take a picture of you? No, it's just because, like, I really love your hair, and I want to take a picture of it to show to my hairdresser, like, exactly what I want, which wouldn't be weird, except she was a white woman with very straight hair. So I was like, I'm black for the listeners. black woman on stage. Google me. This will be funnier. I was like, my hair? Like, is this a weird race thing? Because, like, one of us is racist. Like, am I racist or are you racist? Like, one of us. But instead, I just stood and went, all right, is this a good pose? Can you see it? Okay. And then as she walked away, I was like, oh, no, that was obviously a trick. Like, I've seen enough episodes of Criminal Minds to know that's how they get you. Right? Right? Like, one day you're standing in front of the pills and you're minding your business. A woman takes a picture of your hair. Fast forward, she Google image searches you. A month later, a white woman is walking around Pilsen with your scalp on her head, and they're like, oh, how'd you get that natural hair? She's like some silly black bitch in Pilsen. Like, that's season 2, episode 6. Does no one watch Criminal Minds? It's a good show. if you're very poor. It's on Ion. Like, is anyone... Where my pores at, huh? Ion? Ramen noodles. Okay. I just did a dance for the listeners at home. It's the poor dance. But when I first moved here, it was sad for me because, like, I didn't have any friends. I didn't have any money. So I would just wander the streets of Lakeview where I lived, and I would just peer into restaurant windows like, what are you guys doing? What, do you have friends? Do you have friends? Are you eating kale? Is that kale? And that's because, like, if there was a food pyramid for my diet, it would be ramen, canned tuna fish, and 7-Eleven brand wine. Just a lot of coping in there. And that's because I would have entire days where the only social interaction I would have would be with myself. Like, I'd just be in the house in front of a laptop like, what are you going to do, huh? You going to watch Downton Abbey again? What are you saying? We love Downton Abbey. Maybe I want to have friends. Maybe I want to get out there. Nobody's real but us. I did that joke once to complete silence, and it was a rock bottom, but it was at a woman's shelter, so I should have known better. they were like, this is just our lives. What, do you think you're better? Okay. You have a laptop? Wow. Okay. That was a little classist on my part. They didn't say that at all. When I first moved here, though, in Chicago, one of the first jobs I had was working at an online health clinic. And that's what I told my mom and my friends when I didn't want to say that I worked for a website that sold STD tests. Oh, I'm doing great, don't worry. But no, like, it was like a weird job. It was a call center, so people call in, they process payment, and they hang up. But sometimes, what they don't tell you in the interview is a lot of times you end up playing Dr. Ruth to someone's salad tosser in Seattle. So I've compiled a list of the most frequently asked questions because they didn't pay me enough for confidentiality. if they listen, I'm not going to say the name. I was going to say the name, but not drunk enough. Okay. Question number one. Is 31 too old to have your mom pay for your HIV test? Yes. Can I get HIV from a stripper's breast milk? What if they're double D? Are the chances increased? Sure. Y'all sell STDs? That's a sister site. Let me give you a link. What's your email? Did my boyfriend give me herpes? No, I know you don't know him, but did he give me herpes? I was like, wow, someone is fucking you. Wow, that's incredible. Riddle me this. So I fucked three bitches last week and now I got chlamydia. Switch bitch is the bitch that gave me chlamydia. I was like, I don't think you understand what a riddle is. That's I don't know how to solve this. Oh, and the South is fantastic. I got a massage from this Oriental girl. And she touched my scrotum. Does that mean I got the syphilis? Okay, what if she touched the tip, like just the tip? Okay, what if she is a he? Automatic syphilis. Oh, that's homophobic, but I told him that anyway. But I had this show for 8 months where I was like, I cannot answer the phone to another person being like, hey, here's when I pee. And I was like, I'm done with this shit. And I was proud of myself for the 10-minute walk to the train station. Then I got on the train and I was like, oh my God, I cannot answer the phone to another. Like, I cannot, like, okay, that was a previous punchline. But what I'm saying is, I was like, what? Like, I should not have quit that job. Like, I don't have another source of income. Then I was like, wait, is this how one starts on the path to homelessness? Is this how it starts? You're one day, you're at the job, like, I'm not gonna take it anymore. Then fast forward to a year, your nickname in the neighborhood is Pebbles, and you dance for quarters in front of Starbucks. Is this my future? As I'm having that freak out, the doors on the train that you're not supposed to go through open, and this woman comes on and she goes, excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, does anybody have a dollar for a sandwich? And I was like, oh my God, is this the ghost of Sonya yet to come? Future homeless Sonya, why are we asking for a dollar for a sandwich when it costs $2.25 to get on the train? Are we still making bad financial decisions? Thank you so much, you guys. You've been really awesome. Bye-bye. Sonya,
please sit. Bring the microphone. Sorry, I fucked up your name.
Oh, no one knows it, so.
No, that's not. You're still a human being. You should get. I already fucked up the first Miss Calm's name.
Who?
Exactly. I'm not going to say your first name again because I'm going to mispronounce that. Have you watched Call the Midwife?
Yes, I love all British shows. Today I said to my friend, you're looking very natty today. He's like, who the fuck are you?
You're a classy lady.
I am.
She just got back from Great Britain.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I saw him in person.
The Midwife?
Yep.
From the traveled back in time. And she helped birth children.
Yeah, and I hung out with Downton Abbey.
You hung out at the Abbey?
Yeah.
How was it?
Because that's where you go. You get off the plane, and then that's like the loading area.
Really?
Downton Abbey is the loading area.
Yeah, it's baggage claim.
My lady.
Not many people know that.
Was it fun going to baggage claim in Downton Abbey?
Yes, yeah. It's very proper.
It's a very big estate.
Where are you from?
D.C.
I live there.
Oh, currently?
Yeah, what
neighborhood?
I'm in Lanier Heights. Do you know where that is? No one knows. Back of the zoo.
Oh, hello, money bags.
Yeah, I know. Ooh. Between Mount Pleasant and Adams Morgan.
Oh. I used to live in... okay, that's not super rich.
It's normal.
I don't know.
It's all the same. Like, yeah. It's as much as 8th Street now.
No, but like when people say like... I haven't lived there in like 3 years. Logan something?
Circle.
Logan Circle. That's like rich.
Yeah.
Capitol Hill rich.
Yeah.
But yeah, I lived in Navy Yard in Adams Morgan.
That's
before I
rich
moved.
Now.
Yeah, yeah, everything's changing.
I know. Time changes things, huh?
Chicago is like super cheap, though. Like,
I know. I miss it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, did you get fat since you moved here? You're not a large woman in any way. I'm just saying.
Are you trying to say I'm fat?
Okay. Have you gained weight since you moved here?
No.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah, it's incredibly cheap here in a good way.
Yeah, no, like, when my friends are like, when I first moved here, people were like, listen, get an apartment for, like, under $600. You can do it. And I was like, in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, yeah, you would be living in a basement, a murder basement in middle of Maryland. Like, that's...
Yep, that's right.
But here, it's like, I'm rich!
Yeah, it's crazy.
I have $800. Woo!
And are you currently in Lakeview?
Downtown. No, oh, God, no. I hated Lakeview so much.
Where are you now?
Logan Square.
How? Where? Give me the exact address.
222
streets.
For all my stalkers, I live by the police station. Stalkers. So, but no, I live off. Where do I live? Shakespeare and California.
Oh, that's corner. Awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
And your train stop is just out of commission right now.
definitely done.
Welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, I wanted to tweet out, this is our Vietnam, but then someone's like, that's
oh, you shouldn't do
offensive.
That. No, no, it's just an inconvenience. There's one four
it's
blocks
so
in both ways.
It's so inconvenient.
Yeah, that's not Vietnam at
it's
all.
It's just like a war.
Do you know what war is? Because that's the... It's just a war.
What is, you wake up at 8:20 and you have to be work at 9, but you can't catch the bus in time because the train's out.
That's a crisscross
that's
song,
war.
By the way.
A crisscross song? I missed the bus. Can I tell you?
No. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes, please, 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 please. Please, I want to know.
I don't even remember what I was going to say because that was so funny. No, I missed the bus a lot. I forgot, honestly. Yeah, I forgot. No, 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 I do remember now. Okay, sorry. I was drinking before I got here. But that was one of the first jokes I remember telling was a crisscross song. Because, like, I was a little kid, and they, my friends were like, I forgot when this was. It was super elementary, maybe kindergarten. But this is going to go somewhere. You're going to have to edit out the parts.
I will not. Just go, this will be the top of the show now.
But first joke I ever told, my friends were like, one of my friends was like, I missed the bus. And I was like, no, she was like, I missed the bus. And then I went, and that is something I would never, ever do again. And they all went, ha! And I was like, I should be a comedian. So I can tell this joke. And it'll take me 10 minutes to tell it, and everyone will be like, that wasn't worth it.
You know, there,
new people.
You know there was a Sega CD crisscross game where they had to catch the bus.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm going to go get that.
That's how you get a talk show. You just have to know all your crisscross
knowledge. Just crisscross knowledge. You know one of them died?
Yeah.
Never forget. You know.
No, I forgot.
Was it was cross. It was cross.
They
pour out a PBR for him.
What was the episode? What television show that was part of the TGIF lineup featured crisscross in an episode?
Family Matters?
That is correct. Who was their biggest fan on the episode?
Laura, of course.
Nope, the grandma.
What?
Yep. Check that shit out, guys. Go to Google. Bing it. Sorry. Okay, so you're funny.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, I got your
name
wrong.
Someone never wanted.
Where do you work now?
Oh, it's another call center.
Oh, boy.
I hate happiness, so it's great.
You know you don't have to work at these places, right? You could try harder. You can get a better job.
Did my mom call you and tell you to say all this? Because this is literally the conversation of my mom.
Me and moms, we get along.
Are you still doing comedy?
No. You should keep doing comedy. I'm saying this call center bullshit. Like, come on, what the fuck is that about?
It's an easy job. And
yeah,
you get
why
to go
are
we
going
home?
For easy jobs?
Because I need to do comedy.
You can't possibly do both.
No.
You deserve good things. Stop that.
Listen, thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm crying for the audience at home.
Let's go watch Family Matters and then play that Sega CD game.
It's all right. No one knows that song?
No. Jeremy! Please put your hands together for Sandra Davis, everybody. Sandra Davis.
Thank you.
That was great. Thank you.
I've had the most amazing evening. I met my favorite author tonight. His name is Michael Shaven. And he's part of the 114 Chicago initiative. The book is Amazing Adventures in Cavalier Clay. And you guys should read it if you get a chance. This has nothing to do with that. Yeah.
Thanks, Bob. You're talented. I enjoy that. Alright, so this is the end of the night. Blah, 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 blah. I should be sincere for once. I'm never sincere in the show. I did the biggest show probably thus far in terms of a live crowd last week, Wednesday. I performed in front of 1,200 people with Tig Notaro, Jeff Garlin, Kyle Kinane, and two people you never heard of. They're fantastic. And I was not nervous in any way, because I don't give a fuck. I talk about my dick all the time. I don't care. I'm married. Nothing changes. This is whatever. But tonight, I was incredibly nervous, because people that knew me when I was still in bands and had, like, zines are here, and then new friends from D.C. are here, and I wanted to do really well, and I wish I did as well as I did in that show last week. Tonight, I didn't even do that well in that show last week. I was, like, a 6 out of 10. I wish tonight was a 6 out of 10. I have to apologize for that. I wanted to do better, but, like, it's weird being here, because, like, Luz is one of these people. Without somebody like Luz and Jan in my life, I don't get to do these things. So I want to thank you for having fun with us, for us to do our thing. And thank all of you kind individuals for, like, coming out on a Thursday night or a Monday night or whatever weird night I'm doing this show. Even if it's a Friday night, it's early. It means the world to me. And you guys watch me, like, fuck around with a guy and talk about cocaine. That's fun to me. Like, that means a lot to me. And my friends that talk, they're all fucking negative Nancy's, guys. They're just negative Nancy's, but it means a lot. And I'll shut the fuck up now and turn the jukebox on, and inevitably television's marquee room will play. So thank you guys so much for coming. Have a wonderful night. World's gonna do it. And that's even better. That's even better. Thank you so much.